want to be encouragement to them. So I ask you to help me help them and to share a few things they already know, but just refresh, to encourage, to help, to give a word of encouragement. Thank you, Jesus. And we are waiting for you. Boy, it'd be great if you came right this instant. That'd be something. We'll be surprised, but we know you're coming. And that'd be great, but there's a lot of people that we know that are not saved yet that may not have another chance to get saved. So I ask for your help. Best I know how, Holy Spirit, I give myself to you. I ask you to overtake me. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over myself. Help me tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen? Amen. Amen. What would it be like when Jesus comes? Now, a lot of this you know, so let's just grab some verses. Now, my custom is I'll announce the verse. We'll race through who gets it first. You get it before I do. Just say amen. And it's a Bible drill, in other words, like you used to do with the young people. We're going to do it with you folks. And so let's get at it. Okay, Matthew 24:44. And if you know it, you can't quote it. You've got to look it up. Matthew 24:44. I'm with you. I'm looking too. And when I find it, I'll say amen, and I'll start reading when I'm ready. Matthew 24:44. And Matthew 24:44, the Bible says this, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh." Now Jesus is coming, but what is it going to be like when Jesus comes? Well, let me give you a couple thoughts. We'll go to another verse just to show from the Bible, the last verse in the Bible, Revelation 22:20, the last verse in the Bible, I think it's the last verse, and when you find it, let's keep our tradition. We want to be a good Pharisee tonight. In Revelation 22:20, it says here, Revelation 22:20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." And then John says, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." So Jesus says, "I'm coming quickly." That means suddenly, immediately, in the blink of an eye, he's coming. Now turn with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 51. We'll look at a couple of verses. So, the Bible says Jesus is coming. He told us to be ready. The Bible tells us in Revelation 22:20 that he's coming quickly. That means he's coming suddenly, immediately. It's just going to happen. And I illustrate it like this. When Jesus comes, it's going to be just like that. That's when Jesus comes, just like that. Can you do just like that? That's how fast it's going to be when Jesus comes. The Bible tells us here it's even faster than that. But if you can think about that, that's the best way, I think, to describe the rapture. That's what we're talking about, the rapture of the church. The word rapture is not in the Bible. It's a Latin term. But it means just to be snatched away, taken up when Jesus comes. And it's going to come how quick? Just like that. Just like that, if you can imagine that. Just like that. Well, what's going to happen just like that? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, God's Word tells us some things about that event that's going to take place just as quicker than you can slap your hands. And that's a good illustration because it's going to be just like that. Boom, bang, just like that. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, if you've got it, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, everybody likes a good mystery. I watch too much TV, old TV. We have antenna. That's all we have. We don't have internet or anything like that. We have an antenna, and I watch old cowboy movies and stuff. Sometimes you see a mystery. Sometimes we watch Perry Mason. It's on late at night. Sometimes I can't sleep. My wife doesn't watch that stuff. She's holy and right with God. She doesn't watch TV, and she's stuck on Facebook. Oh, I mean, it's teasing with you. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, if you were to start reading the Bible and you didn't know the Bible, some of you folks know these things. If you start reading the Bible and you started reading in Genesis and you read all the way through, you would see in the Bible there's only one way to get to heaven. Anybody know that one way to get to heaven? There's only one way. You'd start in Genesis, you go all the way through and you start reading and you'd say, "Well, boy, you know, so-and-so lived so many years and died. So-and-so lived so many years and died. So-and-so lived so many years and died." Have you been ever stuck in them chapters in Genesis 5 and all of those? And so you'd say, "Well, you know, when these people die, they're going to go to heaven," or they die. And you'd say, "Well, the only way that you can get to heaven is by dying." Until you got right here where God says, "I'm going to show you a mystery." Now, it's a mystery in the Bible is just a previously hidden secret that was in the Bible that God reveals to it. He opens that mystery up. He says, "I'm going to show you, I'm going to unveil that mystery in the Bible that you've been thinking about of going to heaven. The only one way to go to heaven is by dying. But I'm going to show you something else. There's another way to go to heaven. Now, we know what that is. You know what that is. And you can just follow along. You know some of these things. But I want you to see a couple things about this when this takes place. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Now, he's not talking about taking a nap. We all do that. Amen. We have one in the afternoon and can't sleep at night. And we're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. What? We're not all going to die? But look what he says here. But we shall, how many be changed? A-L-L. Who does, A-L-L, what does that mean? Does that mean some? Does that mean a few? Does that mean a very particular bunch that's chosen before the foundation of the world? Now, I'm getting a little bit funny in there. But A-L-L means all. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking about the church. He's talking about those that are saved, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. All are going to go. In fact, Jesus talks about it. The Bible talks about it as the body, right? The body. So when once you get saved and you put your faith and trust in Christ, you become part of the body, right? And now that body's not going to be torn apart when the rapture takes place. Not going to lose an arm up here and a leg torn off over here and somebody lost over here. No, when the Bible tells us here, right here, I show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed. So when the rapture takes place, is the backslidden Christian going to go? Yes, is the Christian that's the preacher of the church, is he going to go if he's saved? No, if a person is saved, they're going to heaven at the rapture. This is a new concept. Reading the Bible, God says we're all going to be changed. We're all going to go. It's not going to be a partial rapture. It's going to be the whole church. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. Now, you know these things. You say, Pastor, I know these things. I know, but I'm getting there. It's taking a minute. I'm going to try to get there and show you something else in here that maybe you haven't seen yet, or maybe you've seen it, but you just haven't really thought about it. So I want you to think about it. So how fast is this event going to take place? Just like that. You're going to be able to comb your hair, going to be able to brush your teeth, be able to get your best suit on, going to be able to get ready, going to be able to get saved when the rapture comes. No, it's coming just like that. That's so fast you can't even think about next thing to do. That's fast. And it's going to be quicker than that, the Bible says. We're all going to be changed. Ha! Amen. How many want to be changed? Yes. The old body ain't what she used to be. Amen. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Got some news for you. But it is going to get better. Just like that. We're going to be changed. What's this change take place? What does all this change entail? Well, we'll look at a couple of things of how we're going to be changed. Just like that, I tell you. Some of you won't be so ugly. Amen. So I'll tell you, it'll be easy to get along with. Amen. Yes, we're going to be changed. Just like that. In a moment. Look what it says. We're going to be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Now, you've heard that. You've heard that. You've heard that. You've heard that. But how fast is that? Just like that. Next time you clap your hands, you think about the rapture. That's how fast it's going to come. And when it comes, we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. Well, what is that going to be like? What is all that change take place? Well, look what it says here. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So there's something that's going to happen. Now over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talks about those that are in the grave that hear his voice going to come out of the grave, and they are. And that's what's happening. But now, what do you think those loved ones that we've buried, and I've buried a few, they're not there, but their body's there. What do you think they look like now? What do you think? Probably a little worse shape than most of us. Amen. But they're going to come out, that they're going to be raised. The Bible says they're going to be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible. For the trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Be no more corruption. Amen. No more cancer. No more rotting of the body. The bodies are just rotting away after you get so old. I think the Bible says 70 is appointed unto man. And then if by reason, by strength, it's 4 Yeah, I'm trying to think and talk too. Did you ever try that? It's hard when you ain't got much stuff to work with. And they're going to be raised incorrupt. What do you think they look like? But they're going to be raised incorrupt. Right now it's pretty corrupt. And our bodies are pretty corrupt. They're getting worse every day. Now, if you're young here, you don't think about those things when you're young. But when you get older, stuff don't work right, starts breaking down, don't move like it used to, and all the other. We shall change. But look at verse 53. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Immortality means you ain't going to die. Not going to die. No more death. Going to be changed. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death swallowed up in victory. Let me give you a couple things about corruption. And I just got a couple thoughts that go along with this. No more corruption. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, let's just flip over there just for a second. Just keep on going toward the back of the Bible. And you'll see Ephesians chapter 1 talking about corruption and being corruptible. And we're going to be changed. That change is going to take place in an instant. Not going to need glasses. Not going to need hearing aids. Not going to need crutches. Not going to need any help. Going to be changed. Just like that body that comes out of the grave will be incorruptible, be a perfect body. Amen. We will be changed just like that is. In fact, we'll look at a couple of places here in a minute. But in Ephesians chapter 1, look in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, watch this now, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You say, boy, that's a lot. What in the world? There's a lot of stuff that is saying there. Yes, it says, in fact, it says in another place in the Bible, I'm going to quote these because you know them better than I do, it says in another place in the Bible, when we see Jesus, what's going to happen? We're going to be like him. So when we see Jesus, not right now, but when we see Jesus, we're going to be like him. Now, is Jesus corruptible? Is Jesus good? Is Jesus kind? Is Jesus loving? Does Jesus hold grudges? Does Jesus pick fights? Is Jesus envious of our brothers and sisters? Is Jesus out to see who's right and who's wrong? Do you ever get in a discussion with your wife or husband? You don't argue. You just discuss. And somebody says this, well, you'll see when we get to heaven that I was right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You don't have to put your hand up. Confession is Saturday night. This is Sunday night. Amen. Sure. Well, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out the truth. Well, when we get to heaven, we're going to see. No. When we get to heaven, let me tell you a secret, and I might show you a verse or two on it, but I want to get this in. When we get to heaven, there's going to be none of that.
Right.
Amen. Let me show you something. Tell you something. Let me just tell you the sermon, because I'm getting sidetracked trying to find the verses in the Bible, because I don't know the books of the Bible. When we get to heaven, ain't going to be none of that, because in heaven, the Bible teaches that I am forgiven. Do you believe that? You don't believe it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. I could tell by the way you answered you didn't believe that. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Have you got it yet? Watch this now. Watch. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Now this is God talking. This is the Bible. Somebody says Paul wrote this, John wrote that, Matthew wrote this, Mark wrote that. No! God wrote the whole book.
Amen?
Amen? It's the Holy Bible. God wrote the whole book. Now he might have used somebody to pin it down, but we don't need to put their name in there because God wrote it. Amen? That's what I believe. And God's the authority. And God says here, look at verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Now you look at this. Look. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now God said in heaven, he's not remembering my sin no more. And I'm glad because I don't want you to know my sin. He's not going to remember it. And when I see Jesus, I'm going to be just like him. Do you think I'm going to remember it? How many here have been woke up in the middle of the night, the devil comes and just shakes you, then brings to remembrance something you did years gone by, or something you said years gone by, or something you saw years gone by, and he wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, you better check your salvation, buddy, because if anybody was saved, they wouldn't think those thoughts. Or they wouldn't have done that. And it haunts you. No, not none of you folks, you don't know that. But it happens to me. You know, it's funny. The older I get, the more I forget. But I don't forget the things that I'd like to forget. The devil reminds me of them. And the stuff I'd like to remember, I can't remember it. Isn't that awful? God says, I'll remember your sins no more. Just like that. Just like that. God's turning a switch in me, and I won't remember those no more. Let me ask you a question. Some of you folks, you think, well, you should get that in the Bible. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to go to heaven right now in the rapture, remembering everything you remember now and all the misery and pain and the hate and the fights and the cantankerous people and the hard times? You know, if you've got a family of 6 or 8 boys, you know when they get a little older, you know they don't get along with one another? You know they fight with one another? When they were little boys, they used to punch each other and wrestle. When they get older boys, they say wicked and hateful, hurtful things come out of this mouth that we say we're a Christian, to rip and tear and cut up, and things that we wish we had never said, and families don't talk to each other for a whole lifetime. Saved people. Because I'm right and he's wrong. That's why. And if he apologizes to me and he really means it, I might forgive him. Amen. But just like that, you won't remember none of that. You won't remember. You say, where's it in the Bible? Listen, use some logic and common sense for change. Listen. If Jesus said, I'll remember your sins no more, and the Bible says when we see Jesus, we're going to be just like him, and we are, without sin, without wickedness, then we ain't going to remember no sin. I'm not going to remember your sin for all eternity. Are you kidding me? That's hell. That's hell. Can you imagine going a whole eternity remembering the things that we know now and the wickedness and the ungodliness that we know now for all eternity? Are you kidding me? What kind of heaven would that be? That's hell. In hell they're going to remember. In hell they're going to be tormented day and night. In hell, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not. That worm, that mind, that worm, that memory that works in your mind and drives you crazier. That's what it's going to be like in hell. But not heaven. It wouldn't be heaven. That would not be heaven forever and ever and ever to remember your sin or to remember my sin. No, that's not going to happen. God says your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And if God says we're going to be like him when we see him, then I'm not going to remember your sins and iniquities no more. And I'm not going to remember my sins and iniquities no more. You say, Pastor, when's this going to happen? Just like that. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a place to go. What a place to spend an eternity to be like Jesus and not have that wickedness, the envy, the strife, the fighting, the hate, the words, the conflicts, the bad thoughts, and all those things that hound us to death. Won't be like that in heaven. Aren't you glad? Amen. No corruption. The Bible says we're going to be holy. Now what it said in Ephesians, we just read it. It says we're going to be holy, Ephesians 1:4, holy and without blame. Ain't that good? Man, that would get an unsaved person want to be saved to go to heaven. That would get a saved person that's going to heaven to rejoice because one day, just like that, we're going to be changed. We're going to be just like Jesus. We're going to heaven in the rapture. And there'll be no sin no more. Remembered forever. Hallelujah. I'm going. I'm going to a place like that. How about you? I want to go to a place like that. How about you? So because of that, you know what God says? Where's it's not John. but the bumblebee man. He got stung. He got stung. That stinger. That stinger. We're going to talk about it right here. 1 Corinthians 15. You got it? I lost it. 1 Corinthians 15. You got it? Here it is. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, when is that going to be? When this corruptible puts on incorruption, when's that going to be? Right, just like that. Amen. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. When's that going to happen? Just like that. Amen. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Why? Watch, because I'll tell you. Excuse me. Here it is. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Excuse me. What's that? That's the stinger. You see, when you take the stinger out, not ashamed to go to heaven. Amen. No, there's not going to be a big screen drop down and everybody look at your sin. No, it's not going to be like that. That's the unsaved. That's the great white throne judgment. That's where some of the unsaved will be judged. The books will be opened. All the record of works will be opened. But there's another book opened. Anybody know what it is? What's the next book? The book of life. And everybody's name that's in the book of life got a free pass. Go to heaven. Amen. The stinger is taken out. Because no, we're not going to stand at a judgment of condemnation. We're going to stand at a reward banquet. And it's payday, baby. Amen. Don't you like payday? Amen. I love it. I used to look forward to Fridays, get a paycheck. Amen. Now I look forward to preach somewhere. Amen. I do. I love to preach. I love to preach. You can probably tell. The stinger. There's no sting. Why? Because there's nothing to look for the Christian. There's nothing to be sad about. There's nothing to be afraid about. There's nothing because the sting of death is gone. What's the sting of death? Sin. But there's no sin in heaven. And there's not going to be any sin for no sin. Our judgment was taken on the cross of Christ. He took our judgment. So there's no stinger in that. And a Christian looks forward to that blessed day. Amen. The death of a Christian is much, much different than the death of an unsaved person. Death of a Christian. Hey, you can't scare me with heaven. No. Yes, I'm looking forward to going. It's a joyous time. It's a wonderful time to go to heaven. We don't need to fear heaven. We don't need to fear God. Right. Heaven is a wonderful, I don't know if you heard this. Heaven's a wonderful place. It's more than just streets of gold. It's where there's no sin, no sickness, no sorrow, no fighting, no heartache, no hard feelings, no debating who's right and who's wrong. No, none, all gone, gone, gone. You say, how can God do that? I got a better one than that. How can God take a little speck of dirt and make a man? If God can take a speck of dirt and make a man, God has the ability to shut off a memory. Isn't that wonderful? God has the ability. I remember your sins and iniquities no more. God says, I turned the switch off. It's done. It's finished. No iniquity, no sin, no condemnation to the Christian. None. Turn the switch. And then, just like that, he turns a switch on you and I. That's wonderful. Amen. Did you get the picture?
Yeah.
Can you see the picture? Can you see why we're so excited about the rapture? So excited about what happens to a Christian?
Yes.
Precious in the Psalm 116, 15. It's either 115, 16 or 116, 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. It's a wonderful thing. Dying, listen, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is the strength. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
No jealousy, no envy, no hate, no revenge. I will get you. No more old nature, no fighting, no wickedness. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word of God. Amen.
Yeah.
We will experience, this came to thought to me a few weeks ago. I was telling my wife about it. I think I woke her up at night. I had a dream that I have three brothers and sisters, and we were all there. And it wasn't a fight. We had a family reunion with no fight. Ha! Can you imagine it? What kind of family reunion is that? But I don't put no stock in dreams. Don't tell the pastor. I was up here talking about a dream. But if you want to be healed, you want a handkerchief to get healed or something, you see me after. You're going to tell the pastor all that stuff, aren't you? Don't. Listen, while the cat's away, the mice will play. I had a dream that my brother, my sister's still alive. She's 84. She just had a birthday last week. And I'm the youngest. I'm the baby, the smartest, the most loved, the gifted, and talented. How many younger ones here? You feel, hey, man, baby of the family. Got it made in the shade, drinking lemonade. Mom and Dad loved us more than they did the rest of the family. Amen? And but it was so wonderful. In my dream, do you ever have a bad dream? You wake up and feel like you need to get saved over again? Yeah, you've had those. This one was the other way. It was the most wonderful and beautiful thing I could experience in a dream. I felt such love, such peace, such tranquility, and we were all there. And we were all getting along so great. And it was a view of heaven in my dream. I didn't want to wake up. When I woke up, I was disappointed. I actually had that's the first time that's ever happened to me about how wonderful heaven is. And that's what prodded me to put a thought together on that. And I experienced, if you could experience it, love. I experienced love. And I've heard people tell stories of near-death experiences. And I don't, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I'm not saying anybody did or didn't. We got a Bible. The Bible is final. We got all we need. Amen? We don't need any stories. But it's wonderful, isn't it, to have somebody say, I just experienced the love of God. I just felt such love and such peace and such brightness and good. I thought of that. And I said, this was so wonderful. This was so, so good. We're all there. And it was like we're little kids again. And because being the youngest, 10 years between my sister and I, pretty near. And so I remember all those times as a little fellow. And I'd look up to my older brothers and sister and it was just, and I experienced that, and it was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful about that, the experience of love. And heaven is a place of love. Heaven is a place where Jesus is. And it's wonderful to be in the presence of Jesus and experience that love. I wrote a Bible verse down. I got to look and see what I wrote down. Listen, I preached this once before, but I didn't have a long time. Oh, thank you. Thank you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. What does that say? See if you can find it before I do, you can preach it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. Talking about love. Here it is. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness is blinded in his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Isn't that good? And his sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Remember that, sin no more. In fact, there's several verses in the Bible. I think I'm running out of time. It is. It's 7 o'clock. Can you believe it? Time goes fast when I'm preaching, I'll tell you that. When you're preaching, it drags on. And I'm sorry, that's how I feel. Sometimes, just teasing with you. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? Amen. All right. So we're all a mess. But in heaven, we won't be a mess. I'm just looking to see if there's... Yeah, let me give you one more. You got time for one more verse. Just one more. 1 Corinthians... I might lie. It might be two more, but at least one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. You've read this verse. And I asked a guy the other day this. I can't even find the books of my Bible and think at the same time. Isn't that awful? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Did I say chapter 9? Chapter 2. Thank you. I knew I was wrong. Chapter 2, verse 9. You've seen this verse, haven't you? 1 Corinthians 2:9. Here's what I want you to do. We'll read the verse in just a minute. I want you to think the wildest thought you can think of what heaven might be like. The wildest that you can think in your finite mind. Because our mind is not the mind of like God, like God's mind. I mean, God's mind is unbelievable. I mean, it's just unbelievable what God can do and the thoughts God thinks and what God is capable of doing. And God says that here. But as it is written, this is back in Isaiah 64:4, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Here's what God's saying. You can't imagine what heaven is like. Your mind's not capable of imagining what heaven is like and what it's like to be in heaven. Our minds are not capable of doing that. Now, I got a wild imagination. I can think, I imagine wild things. But God says, you ain't got the brain power to do it, what heaven is like. He gives us pictures. In fact, Paul went to heaven. He said, I heard things undescribable. I can't even put words to it, what I see in heaven. When's that going to take place? Any second. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, the human mind can't comprehend what it's like being in heaven. Aren't you glad? I hope you're saved. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're missing it. You're missing it, because if the Lord comes, you'll get left behind. But I trust that you are saved. I trust that you are saved. If you're not, get saved. I trust that you are saved. And if you are saved, rejoice. Jump up and click your heels. Yeah. Do a cartwheel. Amen. Shout it from the housetop. Any second, we're going to be changed. What's that change going to be like? We're going to be just like Jesus. The Bible says when we see him, you can debate that, but the Bible says when we see him, we'll be like him. What does that mean? When we see him, we'll be like him. And he says, no sin in heaven. He'll remember our sin no more. We won't remember our sin no more. We won't remember the other person's sin, but we will be able to love with God's love. How much, it's called agape love in the Bible. How much is God's love? How much is God's love? How much is God's love? How much can you sense of God's love? Can't imagine it. Can't imagine being where Jesus loves you this much. Where Jesus gave his life for us this much. Where Jesus loves us just the way we are. Where Jesus has a place for us, as unworthy as we are. Where Jesus is going to take care of us, just like that. I like that. Just like that. When is that going to happen? I don't know. Any second, in an hour when you think not, just like that. You say, is that going to happen? You can bet your bottom dollar it's going to happen. When's it going to happen? Any second. So be ready. And we're going to be changed. And we're going to be like Jesus. And we'll be able to get along with one another. Amen. And experience the love of God that is beyond our comprehension. That's good. That's good. Just remember this. Heaven is not hell. Heaven is heaven. There's a big difference. Amen. A big difference, and we can't imagine it. Father, thank you for your goodness toward us. Thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. God, I love to preach, and I love to preach and have fun with your people. But Lord, this is a true fact, and God, may we never fear death. May we never fear standing before you. May we never fear you that loved us so much. You sent your Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We thank you. You're a wonderful God. You're a wonderful Savior. Thank you for saving us. Well, who in the world are we that you would save us? Thank you so much. And we look so forward to that day when we see our loved ones and experience your love and your joy in heaven. What a wonderful, wonderful place. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to ask you a personal question. How many here tonight can say without a shadow of a doubt, preacher, I'm going to heaven. I'm so saved. I'm almost there. Would you hold your hand up? Just hold it up high. Don't be ashamed. Put it up. Touch heaven with it. Thank you. God bless you. Maybe there's someone say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Make sure. Ask the Lord to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save anybody. He'll save anybody. If you're not sure, ask him to save you. Ask him to save you. And then tell everybody you know that you're a Christian. The best way you know how. And tell them where you're going. Tell them a couple things you may have seen tonight. Maybe you've known it all along, but never thought about it that way. Heaven's a wonderful place. Get as many people to go as you can. Doesn't cost any more. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. God's got plenty of love to go around. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian. You're going through some hard times. Well, there'll be an invitation here in just a minute. Why don't you come? Kneel down at the altar and say, God, I thank you so much that I'm saved. And I've been carrying this heavy burden. I've been carrying this worm that's been gnawing at me. And God, I don't have to. And I don't have to be afraid of you. And I don't have to be afraid of going to heaven because you took the stinger out. You took the stinger out. And God, I want to live for you and I want to serve you. Maybe you could make that commitment tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll have a pianist play and the preacher come and we'll do business with the Lord. Thank you for letting me preach.
With every head bowed and eye closed, wasn't that wonderful? Yeah. Boy, what a blessing God gave us tonight. I'll tell you, that was some fantastic stuff. It just that was the shot in the arm that we needed, I think. And Lord, we're happy that...